Open your Bibles here this morning. We're going to start in the book of James, and then we'll get to the Old Testament here, book of Proverbs. James chapter 1 to start out here this morning. And my message is skill in living from Proverbs. Skill in living. How much we need that in our lives. Is wisdom an important thing? Well, there was a sign in a physics laboratory. It said, please don't look into the laser beam with your remaining good eye. Okay, you know, you need wisdom sometimes. And one farmer was discouraged about all the people that were cutting across his farmland. So he put up a sign that said, please do not trample on the poison ivy or feed the bull. Okay, and he was hoping that might discourage some people from trampling through his fields. You know, sometimes you need wisdom. And do you remember years ago with the Hubble telescope, all the problems they had getting the mirrors unfolded and all these different issues they had, the Hubble telescope? Well, there was a fellow that worked at NASA, and he had to prepare a presentation on lessons he learned from the bad experience with the Hubble Space Telescope. That was his lecture for the morning to the NASA personnel. And on his chart at the briefing, lesson number one was, in naming your mission, never use a word that rhymes with trouble, okay? So that's what his first point was. So, you know, you gain wisdom over time because you run into problems. And I'm not sure who said this, but somebody once said, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Nobody lives long enough to make them all himself. And it's wise to learn from others. And somebody else said this, a wise man learns by the experience of others, an ordinary man learns by his own experience, a fool learns by nobody's experience. And if you can learn from the experience of others, you're a wise person. But what is wisdom? Do you need some? How's your life going? You have any challenges in your life? Somebody defined wisdom like this, knowledge. It gives you the ability to take things apart. Wisdom gives you the ability to put them back together again. And sometimes we need wisdom to put our life together. You know, wisdom is an important thing. The Hebrews loved wisdom. The wisdom literature, Proverbs, a book full of wisdom. Golden nuggets of truth that we can embrace and apply to our lives, that we can live a life that honors God. Now, just by way of background here, our Lord Jesus said these words one time. He said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own what? His own soul. What would it profit him? And now, if a man was able to gain the whole world, okay, by his business experience, by his political power, by his charisma, by his influence, I mean, whatever he had, he could gain the whole world. Would you say that guy had a lot of wisdom? But what kind of wisdom? Because you see, there's two types of wisdom. And that's what we want to look at here in James. Because a person can be wise in the world, so to speak, but ultimately be a fool eternally. Well, let's look in James here, because James talks about two types of wisdom here in James chapter. Well, actually, let's just, before we get to James 3 here, in James 1 here, verse 5 says, if any of you lack what? Wisdom. Okay, James just puts that out there. If you lack it, if you have something in front of you and you don't know how to, like, you haven't been this way before, you don't know what to do. But with that being said, I want us to back up just a few verses here in James 1, because verse 2 and 3 kind of set what verse 5 is saying. My brethren, count on all joy when you fall into various or diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, entire, complete, wanting nothing. Now, and right after those verses, he says, any of you lack wisdom? Now, why does God through James put that there? Because some of us can go through a tough time in life, and we have an experience or a trial, a testing. And there's two things you want out of that. You want to know, why God sent this into your life, the wisdom. What purpose does God have for whatever you're going through, the trial in your life? What's the purpose and what you can learn from that? Why it's here and what you can learn, the why and the what. And then he says, do you lack wisdom? Do you understand what you're going through? Because in life's big picture, for Job, when he was suffering in his time, did God have a purpose for that? Did God have a plan for that? He certainly did. Now, from Job's perspective, he had some trouble understanding this. But from God's perspective, and so for us in our lives, God had an eternal purpose. But if any of you lack wisdom, there are things in our lives that God's brought into our life for a reason. A trial, a temptation, a testing. But what you don't want to do is miss that. If any of you lack the wisdom to understand it, why is this here? What is God trying to teach you? If any of you lack that understanding, verse 5 says, let him ask of God. Okay? You're in this situation. You're going to pray to God. God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is where I'm at in life. This is what I'm dealing with. Why is it here? Let him ask God. And what's God's response? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, when you ask God for wisdom, you're going through a tough time. You want to know why. And what do you want me to learn through this? You don't want to miss the opportunity what God is doing in your life through your times, because he has a purpose for it. And God says that he gives to all. He giveth to all. Everyone that prays, God has respect for their prayers that are right with him. He giveth to all men liberally. God's not stingy. He's going to work in your life. He doesn't upbraid you. He doesn't sound like, why are you here today? Now, have you ever tried to talk somebody and they didn't have time for you? You kind of feel like it kind of pushes you off. But that's not the way God is. You have a situation in your life, he don't upbraid you. He doesn't, what are you here for? But he's very gracious, and it shall be given him. But he has a condition here in verse 6. Let him ask in what? In faith. Because when you're going through a trial, what do some people do in their trials? They blame who? Blame God. And that just destroys your faith. See, you ask in faith, you say, God, you sent this into my life for a purpose. Give me the wisdom to understand why it's here in my life. I want to understand this. And help me to make the most of this opportunity, that I don't miss this opportunity for spiritual growth and understanding. Let him ask in faith. God, give me the understanding here. Because when we have these trials and we're asking God, why is it here? You got to realize that God holds you in the hollow of what? His hand. He loves you. Now, is God, when he does something, is he ever going to make a mistake? Do you know what I'm saying? No, he never makes a mistake because he's God. And so we know he's all wise and he's all knowing, he's all loving, he's all caring. So when we have these trials, temptations, we pray to God, God, give me the wisdom. But we believe that he's a faithful God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I'm confident. My God loves me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through the end of the day. I'm not wavering. I know who I believe and my confidence in him. For he that wavereth, okay, now, if a cork is on the surface of the water and the waves are going, what does a cork do? It goes up and down what with the waves. And if your Christian life is like a cork, one day you're up and the next day you're down. How stable are you going to be in your life? Not very stable. And what God wants us to do is we don't want to be tossed like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. See, if you're up and down, God loves me, he doesn't love me. God loves me, he doesn't love me. God cares about me, he doesn't care about me. You're not going to get anywhere in your Christian life. Because verse 8 says, well, verse 7, let not a man think it that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Because you're not asking in faith. You don't trust God. You don't believe in him. And verse 8 even goes as far as say, a double-minded man is what? Unstable. You know, if you're thinking God's good, God's not good. God loves me. God doesn't love me. You're just unstable in your Christian life. Well, verse 5, any lack wisdom. Now, what are the two kinds of wisdom here? What a profit man gains the whole world. Turn to chapter 3 here. James talks a little more about wisdom, verse 13. And James here in verse 13 says, who is a what? Wise man. Who is a wise man? You say you have wisdom? Good. Are you a wise person? Or are you not so wise? What is true wisdom? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Now, if you're really a wise person, James encourages you, show it out of a good manner of life, your works with meekness of wisdom. Now, one thing about wisdom, the more you know about wisdom, the more you realize how little you knew. The more you grow in your Christian life, the more, you know, there is a great theologian one time wrote many, many books on the Christian faith. And somebody asked him, what's the greatest thing you ever learned from God? And he thought for a minute. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because the more you know, the more you realize how little you knew. And the wiser you get, the more you realize how little you knew. And some people who think they're all this and they know all this, they really don't know very much. Because if you compare yourself to God, how much does God know? He knows everything. And you think you know a lot? Well, your knowledge is, and wisdom is like you going down to the ocean with your spoon of your mind and thinking you're going to scoop up the whole ocean with your spoon. God is like the ocean. You'll never, never get all of God, because God is infinitely wise. Well, who is a wise man endued with knowledge? See, are you really a wise person? Okay? Well, you're going to have a certain lifestyle. Meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth of God's word, what God says about wisdom. That this wisdom descendeth not from above, okay? But is what? Earthly, sensual, devilish, or demonic. So, there's a wisdom that's just in this world. What would a profit a man if he gains the whole world? Okay, in this world, if you gain the whole world, you have this earthly wisdom, you gain the whole thing, but you ultimately lose your own soul, then how wise were you? You're very foolish. See, what we don't want is just to be a person that has worldly wisdom, that just sees things from this vantage point of this earth. This wisdom, referring back to verse 14, bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. It's earthly, sensual, fleshly, devilish, demonic. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But what's the other type of wisdom? Verse 17. But the wisdom that is what? From above. That's heavenly wisdom. That's God's wisdom. Not worldly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. God is pure. No uncleanliness in him. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to work with or to entreat. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's God's wisdom. So are you a wise person? But are you wise just in this world? Or are you wise with God's heavenly wisdom? Because what some people can end up doing, if you just have earthly wisdom, because in verse 15, it's sensual, devilish, you can end up being just a wise devil. And that's what you don't want to be. Because if you're a wise devil, yeah, you can have wisdom. You can navigate through this world with a certain amount of success. But where is that taking you? Where ultimately are you going to end up? Now, when I went to school, you ever heard of a student getting expelled from school? You know what that means? They did something bad, they broke the rules, and they get expelled. A week, 2 weeks, if they're really bad, they get put out of school altogether. Usually when a school expelled a student, they had to do something really bad. All right. Do you know years ago, in 62 and 64, our schools expelled somebody from our schools? What happened in 62 and 64? They expelled who?
God out of school.
I have a question for you, wise man. What did God do to you in your school that you expelled him out of school? Tell me, if you're so wise, what did he do? See, earthly wisdom says no restraints. I want to do what I want to do. And God got expelled. But how wise was that? Was that a wise move or a foolish move? Was that earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom? In the 40s, you know what the two most predominant problems in public schools in the 40s survey? Public school teachers. Top two. Chewing gum and talking in class. That was their problem. Would public school teachers today like to have just those two problems to deal with? What do we got in schools today? Guns, violence, shootings, drugs. Yeah, you name it. It's a war zone. And who did they expel back in 62 and 64? Took Bible reading and prayer out of school. But what did God do? Why did you expel him out of school? What was his crime against the students there? See, the worldly wisdom says, let's push God out of here. But where does it take you? See, if you have the wisdom of the world, it says, go down this road. But if you have godly wisdom, it takes you down a whole different way. Well, turn over here to Proverbs chapter 2 here. You want God's wisdom? Because when you make a decision in life, if you don't have God's wisdom and perspective on it, it might be wise in the eyes of the world. Yeah, that was a good move. But if you don't have God's wisdom, it can be a bad move. And we have seen the results in our society, some bad moves that our culture has made. And we need heavenly wisdom. Well, look in Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, very personal, all through Proverbs, a father to a son. My son, if thou will receive my words. My son, what's that next word? Two letters, IF. What is that? That's if. That's a conditional statement here. In other words, you have a choice here. My son, if you will receive my words, we have to make a decision. Are we just satisfied with earthly wisdom? Are we going to live our life there? Or do we want that heavenly wisdom? Do we see things from God's perspective? See, a person with heavenly wisdom, they don't make their plan and do their plan and hope their plan works. They don't make a plan and then pray, God bless my plan. A person with heavenly wisdom says, God, what's your plan? And I'm going to do it. See, that's wisdom there. Because God has a plan. And he has a good and perfect and acceptable plan for each of our lives. My son, if, that's a conditional statement. If thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Treasure. High treasure. In the olden days, that word treasure has a deeper root meaning of to bury. And why do you bury your treasure? Because you want to what? Protect it. And when you bury God's, when you treasure it, you're like hiding it in your heart because you treasure it. You want it. You want to know God's will and purpose and desires and knowledge of God, if you will receive my words, God's word, and you hide them, you treasure them. You treasure those words. There was a man, Mr. Goldstein, in New York Island, in Staten Island, New York. Betty Goldstein, his wife, and his name was Ron Goldstein. They went to the hospital. She had a diamond ring on, 3.5 carat diamond ring. And before they were going to the operating room, and they took the ring off, and he wrapped it in a napkin just for safekeeping and set it on the table. Well, inadvertently, that napkin got thrown in the trash can. And when he looked around for the napkin and it was gone, he saw the person carrying the trash out that had taken the trash out. He went to the administrator and said, where did the trash go? At that point, the dumpster truck was coming and picked up the dumpster, put it in the dump truck. He called the sanitation department and said, hey, My diamond ring is in the back of that dump truck. I'm following that dump truck at the transfer station. Will you permit me to go through that trash to find this ring? And the sanitation people said, matter of fact, we'll get our staff there to help you. So when that dump truck got there, dumped there, they went through hundreds of bags of trash and they found it. They found that ring. Now, I ask you a question. Did that ring mean something to him and his wife? It did. How much do you treasure God's word and do you seek for that? Do you know what I'm saying? Now, a diamond ring can come and what? Go. But how long does God's word last? And what wisdom do you get from God's word? Has a lot of people ruined their lives by making bad decisions? Are many people addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography and all these things that drag men down into the sewer of life and destroy marriages and families, and homes are divorced and shattered? What does God say here? My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide treasure my commandments with thee, is that a treasure to you? And Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my what? Commandments. If you love me, is that a treasure to you? Do you love this? Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto what? Wisdom. How do you do life? Wisdom is skill in living. How do I live? Well, I live by the word of God. You know, when Jesus was tempted, what did he rebuke Satan with? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you treasure that? Is that meaningful to you? Because we have a lot of wise devils around us. But how many wise men do we have and women that love God's word? Incline means to lean. You're bent toward hearing God. You're inclining thine ear unto wisdom. You want to hear it. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek for her as silver and search for her as hid gold, as hid treasure. You know, what's your desire? Do you cry after wisdom? Do you want to be a wise person? You know, for some of us, we don't want to humble ourselves. Because if we say we need wisdom, that might imply that we may not have handled things very well at times. And if we don't handle things very well at times, if our ego is too attached to our actions and our feelings, sometimes we can't humble ourselves. And if we don't humble ourselves, we're never going to ask God for the wisdom that he can give us as his people. You know, some of us have family situations that are just ugly and beyond understanding. You may be confused, but God's not confused. You may not know what to say, but God has an answer. And you know what you need to do? Verse 3 says, if thou criest after knowledge, if you want to have discernment, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. They seek for her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. Do you want to have an answer? Do you want to seek God? God has a way he can give you wisdom through the darkest night. And the most complexing parts of your life, God can give you an answer for. Verse 5 says, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth what? Wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. He can help you. That skill in living, how do I navigate through this? If you say no to drugs 1,000 times, but say yes to crack cocaine 1 time, has it got you? It's got you. And you need wisdom, because sometimes it's like the fellow that had a drinking problem. And this is back in the Wild West times, and he went to the the preacher in the town says, "Parson, I can't stop drinking every time I come to town." Parson said, "Where you tie your horse up at?" He said, "Right in front of the saloon." He said, "You need a new hitching post." Just that simple wisdom. Do you see the wisdom there? If you're tempted to drink, don't park your horse in front of the saloon. Tie your horse up at the general store. Get a new hitching post. But you see, we need that wisdom sometimes. And sometimes we're so locked in a stronghold that we can't get out of, and we need God's wisdom. But you got to seek for it. You got to cry out. You have to say, "God, I can't do this thing. I don't have the wisdom. This thing has got me. I got a stronghold here. I can't break it. What can I do?" God says, you cry after it, and you seek for it as men seek after silver. You'll understand the fear of the Lord. You put me first. You have reverential awe for me. I'm your all in all. You put me first at the top. Everything you do, you honor me. And then I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to bless you. And I'll give you victory over your strongholds. I'll help break the power of sin in your life. The Lord gives wisdom, skill in living. You'll have an answer. Out of his mouth comes knowledge. Things you didn't know, God can help you understand. And understanding. See, verse 7 says, he layeth up sound wisdom for who? In verse 7. Who's he lay this wisdom up for? The righteous. Now, if you're saved, all your sins have been what? Washed away. And in his sight, God's going to work in your life. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a shield to them, or a buckler, that walk uprightly. He's going to protect you. He's going to give you sound wisdom. But what did James say? God says, do this, and you say, "God, I don't see how that can work." God says, do this, it'll work. Now, God says, do this, and you question it, but if you buy obedience, you may, what did Gideon do? God, see this fleece here? Make it in the bowl, make it all wet. God does that. God, don't be angry with me, but make the fleece in the bowl dry and all the land ground around it wet. God did it. Gideon said, God can, what God says does work. And you know, that's the way it is. God gives a commandment. We obey it by faith, and we get the blessing. That's the way God's work. That's his math. That's how it adds up. And God wants to bless us. He gives sound wisdom to the righteous. He's a shield to them. They walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment, preserveth the way of the saints. That's our God working in our lives. Because we want that heavenly wisdom. We want to see things the way he does and walk by obedience. In relationships, husband and wife. Wife's not getting along with the husband. Husband's not getting along with the wife. Wife is to respect her husband. Husband's to love his wife. If the wife doesn't respect the husband and the husband doesn't love the wife, and that keeps going round and around, how can it ever be resolved? Somebody has to be the... God says for a wife, respect your husband. And she goes, he's not worthy of respect. God says, respect her. Respect him. God says to the man, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. I can't get along with her. I can't love her. You know what somebody needs to do? Take God's wisdom, just do it. A man starts loving his wife even though she doesn't respect him. And guess what that does to a woman's heart when he starts loving her as Christ loved the church? What does that do to her heart? It makes it blossom. It makes a fist like this start what? Opening up. It opens up her heart. See, that's God's wisdom. And then all of a sudden, she starts treating him better. He goes, oh, she does respect me a little bit. But you see in God's wisdom, see, the worldly wisdom says, you hurt me, I hurt you what? Back. See, who breaks the crazy cycle? See, God's wisdom is there for us. But you got to obey it. If you hear his word, you do it. and you seek after and you cry after it, and he'll give you sound wisdom in verse 7, and he'll shield you as you walk uprightly, and he'll keep your path that you make wise judgments. He preserves the way of the saints. Then you shall understand. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. When wisdom enter in thy heart and knowledge is pleasant in thy soul, discretion shall what? Preserve thee. It's going to keep you from falling into sin. You'll have skill in living. You obey God's word. Understanding shall keep thee. Understanding shall keep thee. You know, Solomon gives two examples here. Verse 12, deliver thee from the way of evil men. You know, how many people could have gotten sucked into situations if they just said, no, I'm not doing this thing. You know, somebody comes up and, well, I remember hearing a story years ago. You ever heard of Ponzi schemes? Do you know how they work? And this fellow one time, he walked into a businessman in a store and said, if you give me $10 in 2 weeks, I'll give you $20 back. And the guy said, you're kidding me. Well, no, I'm serious. This is, I got this organization, I got this thing going on. You invest with me, and I'll give you 20. And so what the guy does, he gives him $10. And 2 weeks later, he comes back, here's your $20, walks out. And the guy said, wow, I just doubled my money. So a week or two later, this guy comes back in. If you give me $40, I'm going to give you $80 back in 2 weeks. The guy says, okay, well, it worked last time. Does it again. Next, come back, get $80. The guy says, man, this is incredible. This guy's investments are off the charts. The guy comes in and says, give me $500. In 2 weeks, I'll give you $1,000 back. The guy says, man, this worked last time. Done. Gave him $1,000 back. Come in a few weeks, like, give me $1,000. I'll give you $2,000. Gave him $1,000. Never saw the guy again. Do you see how that works? You play, who are you? The fool got played. See, God's wisdom says, don't go down this road. You know what I'm saying? The way of evil men, you know, they suck you in. They think and make it sound so good. To deliver you from the way of evil men and from the man that speaketh perverse things. There are some people out there that will take your money in a heartbeat. You have wisdom to avoid that? Who lead the path of rightness, the worldly wisdom, those without God, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil. Is that the crowd you want to run with? And delight in the perverseness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they are forward or perverse in their paths? A lot of people going down that road. You need wisdom, discernment, understanding. God can give that to you. You know, Solomon goes on here. Verse 16, deliver thee from the strange woman, the foreigner, even from the stranger, the foreigner, which flattereth with her words. Men can take advantage of you. Women can take advantage of you. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the ways of what? Good men. Need skill in living? You obey God. You hear his word. You accept it. You walk in it. You may walk in the ways of good men and keep the path of the righteous. Proverbs talks a lot about the fool and what? The wise man, contrasting. What happens to people that play the fool, that don't get God's wisdom? Verse 2 says, if thou will receive my words, don't receive it. Turn to Romans 1 here for a minute. How do you understand our culture today? How do you understand people today? How do you understand the newspaper and the news articles? Romans 1. There's a pathway that happens to people that refuse the knowledge of God and they refuse to embrace the wisdom and knowledge of God. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Romans 1:17. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. The saved people, those that know God. That's how we live. We live by faith. God said it. I believe it. I get the blessing. He gives me wisdom. I'm in that circle of knowledge of God. I fear God. Verse 18, for the wrath of God. Now, as we look at our culture today, I believe God's wrath is being poured out upon our nation. Why? Because we reject the knowledge of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Do we see God working? Well, let's see here. Against ungodliness, those that without God's character and his ways, and unrighteousness, without the righteous ways of God, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Creation itself. There's a creator. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Design implies a designer. All things have been made by God's handiwork, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are with what? Without excuse. Before God, they have no excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart, the wise person, you can have a worldly wisdom, you can have a foolish heart, a worldly wise heart, not heavenly wisdom, but a foolish heart was darkened. That's the first judgment of God. When you turn away from God, your heart becomes darkened. That's the first judgment. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They promote themselves in their foolishness. Now, is it true today that in our culture, what we used to call good is now being called evil? And what we used to call evil is now being called good. Is that true? Yeah. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. That's our culture today. That's our culture. That's the wrath of God coming down on people that don't want heavenly wisdom. They don't want God's way. Professing themselves wise, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creatures. That's idolatry. Now, if you push God off the stage and expel him from school and raise a generation of children, a couple generations now, that know not God or taught his ways, who becomes God then? If God's not God, then who's God? We become God. And we say what we want to do, and we make ourselves a standard. That's called idolatry. And God said, you shall have no other gods, what, before me? For I'm a jealous God. Well, man worships himself, puts God off the throne, puts them on the throne, and do whatever was right in each man's eyes. Verse 24. So you have darkened hearts, you have idolatry, verse 24. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Yeah, the sexual revolution. Have we seen that in our country? Everywhere. That's a judgment of God against people that have earthly wisdom, that walk foolishly. They dishonor their bodies between themselves. And it doesn't stop there. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, truth gets flipped on its head. Have we seen just truth totally turned upside down? And today in sports, we got young men who call themselves girls or females who are competing in female athletic events. Is that turned upside down? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that backwards? That is so bizarre. Just because a male says I'm a female, now they can run against track against other females. And guess who wins? The guy wins. And I hope he feels really proud about himself. You know, it's like bizarre. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise men with men, leaving the natural use of the one. The degrading process, when you leave that heavenly wisdom and the Word of God behind, you got the whole homosexual agenda, everything that God's judgment, that's His judgment against the culture. Lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves that recompense, STDs, AIDS, everything that goes with that arena. Recompense for the error which was meet. And they even did not like to retain God in knowledge. And what's the last stage? Reprobate mind. Our political leaders are having birth certificates proposed that you can have a gender X, not male, not female, just X, whatever you want the X to be. Is that a reprobate mind when you get to that level? God made them what? Male and female. That's it. There's no other. And a culture that refuses the knowledge of God, the fear of God, the wisdom of God, the heavenly wisdom, where do you end up at? The wrath of God, the last level is that reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, not right. And then you have this long list here in 29 and 30 and 31. The people who don't know God. How is your life going? See, if you're in 29 and 30 and 31, your life's not going good. And ultimately, what would it profit a man who gains the whole world? You got every earthly pleasure, you've lived life the way you wanted to, but at the end of the road, you lose your own soul. What good has it done? Why don't you just get heavenly wisdom and do God's work, God's way, and have God's blessing? So at the end of the road, when you meet God, God says to you, well done, thy what? Good and faithful servant. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. You want that wisdom of God to be with you. So you got a week ahead of you. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, Proverbs 2, and hide, treasure my commandments with thee. So incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. It's hard work. There's some gold that's on the surface, but most gold you dig for. And when you dig into God's word, his gold nuggets are going to be there for you. And you have that desire, you cry after it, and you seek after it as men seek for silver. And you say, God, fill my heart with wisdom this week. Fill my heart with knowledge this week. Give me understanding. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And verse 6 says, for the Lord gives what? Wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Fathers, we've looked at this topic of wisdom and earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, the wise and the foolish. God, prepare each of our hearts for how one day we'll stand before thee, God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as men dig for silver and gold deep in the earth, that we dig deep into your word, that we can find that treasure. And Lord, I pray that we would be men and women who fear you and hide your word in our hearts and want to honor you, God. Lord, the just shall live by faith. And God, we live by faith this week, trusting your word and the counsel you give through it, that when we walk in obedience, we get the blessing. Lord, help us this week to be men and women of God, wise men and women. When Satan tries to tempt us and lead us astray, when we are going through a tough time, God, help us not to miss the opportunity of what you're trying to teach us and how we can grow through it, and how, Lord, you have a purpose for everything. So, Lord, give us wisdom, God, in our lives, that we can lean on you and love you and serve you. And that when it's all said and done, God, with our life, when you call us home, that we'll hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Lord, help us toward that end. We don't want to shame you of the cause of Christ or fail our family and our even our own selves, God. We need wisdom, God. May we cry out after it and seek your face for our daily living. Give us skill in living, God, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.